Let us begin with my pet mantras. Trinadapi suniche na tarod iva sahishnuna. Amani na amanadena kirtaniya sadahari. Hare nama, Hare nama aiva kevalam kalo nastyeva, 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 gatir anyata. I must offer my respectful obeisances to my spiritual master, who kindly accepted me as his disciple on April 16, 1974. One year later, in Vrindavan, he gave me the second Brahminical initiation. Jayam Vishnupad Paramahamsa Parivrajakacharya Ashtotra Satra Sisimad A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Chapter 69. The great sage Narada visits the different homes of Lord Krishna. When the great sage Narada heard that Lord Krishna had married 16,000 wives after he had killed the demon Narakasura, sometimes called Bhamasura, he was astonished that Lord Krishna had expanded himself into 16,000 forms and married these wives simultaneously in different places. Being inquisitive as to how Krishna was managing his household affairs with so many wives, Narada, desiring to see these pastimes, set out to visit Krishna's different homes. When Narada arrived in Dwaraka, he saw gardens and parks full of various flowers of different colors, and also orchards overloaded with a variety of fruits. Beautiful birds were chirping and the peacocks crowed delightfully. There were ponds full of blue and red lotus flowers, and some of these ponds were filled with varieties of lilies. The lakes were full of nice swans and cranes, and the voices of these birds resounded everywhere. In the city, there were as many as 900,000 great palaces built of first-class marble with gates and doors made of silver. The pillars of the houses and palaces were bedecked with jewels such as touchstone, sapphire, and emerald, and the floors gave off a beautiful luster. The highways, lanes, streets, crossings, and marketplaces were all beautifully decorated. The whole city was full of residential homes, assembly houses, and temples, all of different architectural beauty. All of this made Dwaraka a glowing city. The big avenues, crossings, lanes, and streets, and also the thresholds of every residential house, were very clean. On both sides of every path, there were bushes, and at regular intervals, there were large trees that shaded the avenues so that the sunshine would not bother the passers-by. In this greatly beautiful city of Dwaraka, Lord Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, had many residential quarters. The great kings and princes of the world used to visit these palaces just to worship him. The architectural plans were made personally by Vishvakarma, the engineer of the demigods. And in the construction of the palaces, he exhibited all of his talents and ingenuity. These residential quarters numbered more than 16,000, and a different queen of Lord Krishna's resided in each of them. The great sage Narada entered one of those houses and saw that the pillars were made of coral and the ceilings were bedecked with jewels. The walls, as well as the arches between the pillars, glowed from the decorations of different kinds of sapphires. Throughout the palace were many canopies made by Vishwakarma that were decorated with strings of pearls. The chairs and other furniture were made of ivory and bedecked with gold and diamonds, and jeweled lamps dissipated the darkness within the palace. There was so much incense and fragrant gum burning that the scented fumes were coming out of the windows. The peacocks sitting on the steps became illusioned by the fumes, mistaking them for clouds, and began dancing jubilantly. There were many maidservants, all of whom were decorated with gold necklaces, bangles, and beautiful saris. There were also many menservants, nicely dressed in cloaks and turbans and jeweled earrings. Beautiful as they were, the servants were all engaged in different household duties. Narada saw that Lord Krishna was sitting with Rukmini Devi, the mistress of that particular palace, who was holding the handle of a chamara whisk. Even though there were many thousands of maidservants equally beautiful and qualified and of the same age, Rukmini Devi personally engaged in fanning Lord Krishna. Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, worshipped even by Narada. Yet, as soon as Krishna saw Narada enter the palace, he got down immediately from Rukmini's bedstead and stood up to honor him. Lord Krishna is the teacher of the whole world, and in order to instruct everyone how to respect a saintly person like Narada Muni, Krishna bowed down, touching his helmet to the ground. Not only did Krishna bow down, but he also touched the feet of Narada and with folded hands requested him to sit on his chair. Lord Krishna is the Supreme Personality, worshipped by all devotees. He is the most worshipable spiritual master of everyone. The Ganges water, which emanates from his feet, sanctifies the three worlds. All qualified brahmanas worship him, and therefore he is called Brahmanya Dev. Brahmanya means one who fully possesses the brahminical qualifications, which are said to be as follows: truthfulness, self-control, purity, mastery of the senses, simplicity, full knowledge by practical application, and engagement in devotional service. Lord Krishna possesses all these qualities, and he is worshipped by persons who themselves possess such qualities. There are thousands and millions of names of Lord Krishna. Vishnu Sahasranam. and all of them are given to him because of Krishna's transcendental qualities. Lord Krishna in Dwarka enjoyed the pastimes of a perfect human being. Therefore, when he washed the feet of the sage Narada and took the water on his head, Narada did not object, knowing well that the Lord did so to teach everyone how to respect saintly persons. The Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna, who is the original Narayan and the eternal friend of all living entities, thus worship the sage Narada according to Vedic regulative principles. Welcoming him with sweet nectarian words, he addressed Narada as Bhagavan, or one who is self-sufficient, possessing all knowledge, renunciation, strength, fame, beauty, and other similar opulences. He particularly asked Narada, "What can I do in your service?" Narada replied, "My dear Lord, this kind of behavior by your lordship is not at all astonishing, for you are the Supreme Personality of Godhead and master of all species of living entities. You are the supreme friend of all living entities, but at the same time, you are the supreme chastiser of the miscreants and the envious. I know that your lordship has descended to this earth for the proper maintenance of the whole universe. Your appearance, therefore, is not forced by any other agency. By your sweet will only, you agree to appear and disappear. It is my great fortune that I have been able to see your lotus feet today. Anyone who becomes attached to your lotus feet is elevated to the supreme position of neutrality and is uncontaminated by the material modes of nature. My Lord, you are unlimited. There is no limit to your opulences. Great demigods like Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva are always busy placing you within their hearts and meditating upon you. The conditioned souls who have now been put into the blind well of material existence can get out of this eternal captivity only by accepting your lotus feet. Thus, you are the only shelter of all conditioned souls. My dear Lord, you have very kindly asked what you can do for me. In answer to this, I simply request that I may not forget your lotus feet at any time. I do not care where I may be, but I pray that I constantly be allowed to remember your lotus feet. So for me personally, this last statement of Narada Muni is so special for me and so pertinent. Narada Muni is one of the great personalities that I would like to follow in footsteps of. So I'm going to repeat this last portion so that I may also pray to receive such a benediction from Krishna. My dear Lord, I simply request that I may not forget your lotus feet at any time. I do not care where I may be, but I pray that I constantly be allowed to remember your lotus feet. Prabhupada will now comment By asking this benediction from the Lord, the sage Narada showed the ideal prayer of all pure devotees. A pure devotee never asks for any kind of material or spiritual benediction from the Lord. His only prayer is that he may not forget the lotus feet of the Lord in any condition of life. A pure devotee does not care whether he is put into heaven or hell. He is satisfied anywhere, provided he can constantly remember the lotus feet of the Lord. Lord Chaitanya taught this same process of prayer in his Shikshashtaka, in which he clearly stated that all he wanted was devotional service, birth after birth. A pure devotee does not even want to stop the repetition of birth and death. To a pure devotee, it does not matter whether he has to take birth again in the various species of life. His only ambition is that he not forget the lotus feet of the Lord in any condition of life. After departing from the palace of Rukmini, Narada Ji wanted to see further activities of Lord Krishna's internal potency, Yoga Maya. Thus he entered the palace of another queen. There he saw Lord Krishna engaged in playing chess with his dear wife and Uddhava. The Lord immediately got up from his personal seat and invited Narada Muni to sit there. The Lord again worshipped him with as much paraphernalia for reception as he had used in the palace of Rukmini. After worshipping him properly, Lord Krishna acted as if he did not know what had happened in the palace of Rukmini. He therefore told Narada, "My dear sage, when your holiness comes here, you are full in yourself. Although we are householders and are always in need, you don't require anyone's help, for you are self-satisfied. Under the circumstances, what reception can we offer you? And what can we possibly give you? Yet, since your holiness is a Brahmana, it is our duty to offer you something as far as possible. Therefore, I beg you to please order me. What can I do for you?" Narada knew everything about the pastimes of the Lord, so without further discussion, he simply left the palace silently in great astonishment over the Lord's activities. He then entered another palace. This time, Narada Ji saw that Lord Krishna was engaged as an affectionate father petting his small children. From there, he entered another palace and saw Lord Krishna preparing to take his bath. In this way, Saint Narada entered each and every one of the 16,000 residential palaces of the queens of Lord Krishna. And in each of them, he found Krishna engaged in different ways. In one palace, he found Krishna offering oblations to the sacrificial fire and performing the ritualistic ceremonies of the Vedas as enjoined for householders. In another palace, he found Krishna performing the Pancha Yajna sacrifice, which is compulsory for a householder. This yajna is also known as Pancha Suna. Knowingly or unknowingly, everyone, especially the householder, commits five kinds of sinful activities. When we receive water from a water pitcher, we kill many germs that are in it. Similarly, when we use a grinding machine or eat food, we kill many germs. When sweeping a floor or igniting a fire, we kill many germs. And when we walk on the street, we kill many ants and other insects. Consciously or unconsciously, in all our different activities, we are killing. Therefore, it is incumbent upon every householder to perform the Pancha Suna sacrifice to rid himself of the reactions to such sinful activities. In one palace, Narada found Lord Krishna feeding Brahmins after performing ritualistic yajnas. In another palace, Narada found Krishna silently chanting the Gayatri Mantra. And in a third, he found him practicing fighting with a sword and shield. In some palaces, Lord Krishna was found riding on horses, elephants, or chariots, and wandering hither and thither. Elsewhere, he was found lying down on his bedstead, taking rest. And somewhere else he was found sitting in his chair, being praised by the prayers of his different devotees. In some of the palaces, he was found consulting with ministers, like Uddhava, on important matters of business. In one palace, he was found surrounded by many young society girls, enjoying in a swimming pool. In another palace, he was found giving well-decorated cows in charity to the brahmanas. And in another palace, he was found hearing the narrations of the Puranas and of histories such as the Mahabharata, which are supplementary scriptures for disseminating Vedic knowledge to common people by narrating important instances in the history of the universe. Somewhere, Lord Krishna was found enjoying the company of a particular wife by exchanging joking words with her. Somewhere else, he was found engaged with his wife in religious ritualistic functions. Since it is necessary for householders to increase their financial assets for various expenditures, Krishna was found somewhere engaged in matters of economic development. Somewhere else, he was found enjoying family life according to the regulative principles of the Shastras. In one palace, he was found sitting in meditation, as if concentrating his mind on the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is beyond these material universes. Meditation, as recommended in authorized scripture, is meant for concentrating one's mind on the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vishnu. Lord Krishna is himself the original Vishnu, but because he played the part of a human being, he taught us definitely by his personal behavior what is meant by meditation. Somewhere, Lord Krishna was found satisfying elderly superiors by supplying them things they needed. Somewhere else, Narada Ji found that Lord Krishna was engaged in discussing topics of fighting, and somewhere else in making peace with enemies. Somewhere, Lord Krishna was found discussing the ultimate auspicious activity for the entire human society with his elder brother, Lord Balaram. Narada saw Lord Krishna engaged in getting his sons and daughters married with suitable brides and bridegrooms in due course of time. And the marriage ceremonies were being performed with great pomp. In one palace, the Lord was found bidding farewell to his daughters, and in another, he was found receiving a daughter-in-law. People throughout the whole city were astonished to see such pomp and ceremonies. Somewhere, the Lord was seen performing different types of sacrifices to satisfy the demigods, who were only his qualitative expansions. Somewhere he was seen engaged in public welfare activities, establishing deep wells for the water supply, rest houses, and gardens for unknown guests, and great monasteries and temples for saintly persons. These are some of the duties enjoined in the Vedas for householders for fulfillment of their material desires. Somewhere, Krishna was found as a Kshatriya king, engaged in hunting animals in the forest and riding on a very beautiful Sindhi horse. According to the Vedic regulations, the Kshatriyas were allowed to kill prescribed animals on certain occasions, either to maintain peace in the forest or to offer the animals in the sacrificial fire. Kshatriyas are allowed to practice this killing art because they have to kill their enemies mercilessly to maintain peace in society. In one situation, the great sage Narada saw Lord Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead and Master of Mystic Powers, acting as a spy by changing his usual dress in order to understand the activities of different citizens in the city and the palaces. Saint Narada saw all these activities of the Lord, who is the Supersoul of all living entities, but who played the role of an ordinary human being in order to manifest the activities of his internal potency. Smiling within himself, Narada addressed the Lord as follows. My dear Lord of all mystic powers, object of the meditation of great mystics, the extent of your mystic power is certainly inconceivable, even to mystics like Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva. But by your mercy, because of my being always engaged in the transcendental loving service of your lotus feet, Your Lordship has very kindly revealed to me the actions of your internal potency. My dear Lord, you are worshipable by all, and demigods and presiding deities of all 14 planetary systems are completely aware of your transcendental fame. Now, please give me your blessings so that I may be able to travel all over the universes singing the glories of your transcendental activities. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Krishna, replied to Narada as follows. My dear Narada, O sage among the demigods, you know that I am the supreme instructor and perfect follower of all religious principles, as well as the supreme enforcer of such principles. I am therefore personally executing such religious principles in order to teach the whole world how to act. My dear son, it is my desire that you not be bewildered by such demonstrations of my internal energy. The Supreme Personality of Godhead was engaged in his so-called household affairs in order to teach people how one can sanctify one's household life, although one may be attached to the imprisonment of material existence. Actually, one is obliged to continue the term of material existence because of household life. But the Lord, being very kind upon householders, demonstrated the path of sanctifying ordinary household life. Because Krishna is the center of all activities, the life of a Krishna-conscious householder is transcendental to Vedic injunctions and is automatically sanctified. Thus, Narada saw one single Krishna living in 16,000 palaces by his plenary expansions. Due to his inconceivable energy, he was visible in the palace of each and every individual queen. Lord Krishna has unlimited power, and Narada's astonishment was boundless upon observing again and again the demonstration of Lord Krishna's internal energy. Lord Krishna behaved by his personal example as if he were very much attached to the four principles of civilized life, namely religion, economic development, sense gratification, and salvation. These four principles of material existence are necessary for the spiritual advancement of human society. And although Lord Krishna had no need to do so, he exhibited his household activities so that people might follow in his footsteps for their own interest. Lord Krishna satisfied the sage Narada in every way. Narada was very much pleased by seeing the Lord's activities in Dwaraka, and thus he departed. In narrating the activities of Lord Krishna in Dwaraka, Shukadeva Goswami explained to King Parikshit how Lord Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, descends to this material universe by the agency of his internal potency and personally exhibits the principles which, if followed, can lead one to achieve the ultimate goal of life. All the queens in Dwaraka, more than 16,000 in number, engaged their feminine attractive features in the transcendental service of the Lord by smiling and serving, and the Lord was pleased to behave with them exactly like a perfect husband enjoying household life. One should know definitely that such pastimes cannot be performed by anyone but Lord Sri Krishna, who is the original cause of the creation, maintenance, and dissolution of the whole cosmic manifestation. Anyone who attentively hears the narrations of the Lord's pastimes in Dwaraka, or supports a preacher of the Krishna consciousness movement, will certainly find it very easy to traverse the path of liberation and taste the nectar of the lotus feet of Lord Krishna, and thus he will be engaged in Lord Krishna's devotional service. Thus ends the Bhaktivedanta purport of the 69th chapter of Krishna, entitled "The Great Sage Narada Visits the Different Homes of Lord Krishna."
Yeah.
So now we're going to read the purports to the chapter as they are found in the appropriate corresponding chapter in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya, Om Gopijana Vallabhaya Swaha, Om Hring Bhuvaneshwaya Namaha. So I'm going to read the purports. Srila Jiva Goswami points out that Tvashta Vishvakarma manifested the expertise of the Supreme Lord, and thus he was able to build such exquisite palaces. In text number 15 of the chapter, since Lord Krishna's own lotus feet are the source of the most holy Ganges, the Lord did not have to purify himself by bathing Narada Muni's feet. in the purport to text 16. The words Narayana Narasaka indicate that Krishna is himself the Supreme Lord, Narayan, who appeared as the friend of the sage Nara. In other words, Lord Krishna is Rishi Purana, the original and supreme spiritual master. Nevertheless, following the Vedic injunctions, Vidino Ditena, a Kshatriya should worship the Brahmins. Lord Krishna happily worshipped his pure devotee, Narada Muni. In text number 17, as pointed out by Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti, all beings are in fact servants of the Lord. He quotes from the Padma Purana, Akarena uchyate Vishnu, Shriya ukarena katyate, Makarastu tayor dasa, Pancha vinsha prakirtitaha. In the mantra Om, the letter A signifies Lord Vishnu. The letter U signifies the goddess Sri, and the letter M refers to their servant, who is the 25th element. The 25th element is the jiva, the living being. Every living being is a servant of the Lord, and the Lord is the true friend of every living being. Thus, even when the Lord chastises envious persons like Jarasandha, such punishment amounts to a real friendship, since both the Lord's chastisement and his blessings are for the benefit of the living being. In text 18, Lord Krishna asked Narada Muni, "What can we do for you?" And Narada answered, "Narada is a pure devotee of Lord Krishna, and his request is sublime." In text number 24, the five Mahayagyas, or great sacrifices, are defined as follows: Pato Homas Chatitinam Saparya Tarpanam Bali, reciting the Vedas, offering oblations into the sacrificial fire, waiting on guests, making offerings to the forefathers, and offering a share of one's food to living entities in general. So, when Jayamurti asked her question, we see in ISKCON these things are done. We recite the Vedas because we have classes on Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, or in our case, Krishna book. We also do fire sacrifices at the time of initiation, in most temples, on holy days, festival days, they do sacrifices. Waiting on guests, when you come to a temple, the devotees serve the guests who come, especially on Sunday feast. Making offerings to the forefathers, devotees can sponsor Sunday feasts or different artis, or do various devotional activities on their behalf. And sharing one's food, every ISKCON temple is doing that all the time. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti, in his commentary, again points out that all the different times of the day were occurring simultaneously in Lord Krishna's palaces. Thus, Narada saw a fire sacrifice, which is a morning ritual, and at about the same time, he saw Lord Krishna feeding the Brahmins and accepting their remnants, a new time activity. In text number 25, according to Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti, the word Sandhyam Upasinam indicates sunset rituals, whereas the words Asi Charmabhyam Charantam refer to sword practice, which takes place at dawn. In text number 26, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti points out that riding on horses and elephants is a noon activity, whereas one lies down during the latter part of night. In text number 27, according to Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti, Lord Krishna met with his counselors around dusk and enjoyed water sports in the afternoon. In text 28, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti informs us that giving cows in charity occurs in the morning, while hearing the histories takes place in the afternoon. In text number 29, joking conversations take place during the nighttime, whereas religious rituals, economic development, and family enjoyment occurred during both the day and the night. In text number 30, the activity of meditation indicates the Brahma Muhurta, the early morning hours before sunrise. In text number 32, the word Kale means that Krishna arranged for his sons and daughters to be married when each of them reached the proper age. In text number 36, although Lord Krishna is all-knowing, while executing his pastimes as a typical monarch, he sometimes traveled about incognito to acquire necessary information about his kingdom. In text number 37, according to Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti, Narada fully understood the Lord's omniscience, and thus when he saw the Lord trying to find out the mood of his ministers moving about in disguise, Narada could not help laughing. But remembering the Lord's supreme position, he somewhat constrained his laughter. In text 38, according to the Acharyas, even great mystics like Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva cannot fully comprehend the mystic power of the Supreme Lord. In text 39, even Narada Muni was bewildered to see Lord Krishna's amazing pastimes as a human being. Therefore, with the words Anujanihi Mam Deva, he requests permission to return to his normal service of traveling and preaching. Inspired by what he has seen, he wants to preach widely the glories of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna. And also, that is the prayer of Nirantara Das. He also tries to become inspired by narrating Krishna book, and he also wants to preach widely the glories of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna. In text number 40, the purport, Srila Jiva Goswami explains that Lord Krishna wanted to dispel Narada's distress, which the sage felt, because he saw Lord Krishna worshipping the demigods and even Narada himself. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti explains Lord Krishna's feelings as follows. As I state in the Bhagavad Gita, Yad Yad Acharati Shrestas Tat Tad Evetaro Jana. Whatever a great person does, ordinary people follow. Thus, I bathed your feet today in order to help propagate the principles of religion. In the past, before I began my pastimes of directly teaching religious principles, you came and offered prayers to me after I had killed the Keshi demon. But I simply listened to your elaborate prayers and glorification and did nothing to honor you. Just remember this and consider. Do not think that you have committed an offense by allowing me to bathe your feet today and accept the water as holy remnants. Just as a son does not offend his father by touching him with his foot while sitting on the father's lap, so you should understand that in the same way, my son, you have not offended me. In text number 41, Shukadeva Goswami repeats what the Lord has himself explained. All the Lord's activities in the many palaces were performed by the Lord's single spiritual form, Ekena Vapusha, which manifested in many places at once. This vision was revealed to Narada because of his desire to see it and the Lord's desire to show it. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti points out that the other residents of Dwaraka could see Krishna only in the particular part of the city they themselves occupied and not anywhere else, even if they would sometimes go to another precinct on some business. Thus, the Lord gave a special view of his pastimes to his beloved devotee, Narada Muni. In text number 45, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur has given various meanings for the word Ananya Vishayani. This term indicates that the Lord performed activities in Dwaraka that were unusual even for his plenary expansions, to say nothing of others. Or, the term can be understood to indicate that the Lord performed these activities for the sake of his pure, exclusive devotees. In any case, the one who recites or hears accounts of these pastimes will certainly be engaged in Krishna consciousness.